Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter, your host for Science Elements, a digest of cutting-edge research from the American Chemical Society, the world's largest scientific society. We officially plunged into summer a couple of weeks ago, but for many of us, the season didn't really kick off until a few days ago. That's because July is truly the heart and soul of summer. And if you have any doubts, consider that July is National Ice Cream Month, National Hot Dog Month, and National Picnic Month. It's also National Parks and Recreation Month, National Tennis Month, National Outdoor Month, and yes, National Anti-Boredom Month. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll have days honoring sunglasses, swimming pools, ice cream cones, and that little celebration called Independence Day. And for those of you who aren't particularly fond of the dog days of summer, there's always Air Conditioning Appreciation Day. And with all that in mind, we're excited about this week's episode, which is all about the emerging chemistry of summer. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about how new technology could help keep fruits and vegetables fresher longer, how an all-too-common weed weeds out its competition, and finally, in an unrelated story, how oysters create pearls of perfection. Farmers markets are things of beauty this time of year. All the colors of the rainbow abound in the fruits and vegetables lining the shelves and tables. But once you get that succulent summer squash or those scrumptious strawberries home, how do you keep them fresh? Well, scientists in France report that new technology could help subdue a gas that propels ripening even after harvesting. They say this approach offers the promise of reducing billions of dollars of losses that occur each year from the silent, invisible killer of fruits, vegetables, and cut flowers. Their report appears in Chemical Reviews, a monthly ACS journal. Nicholas Keller, Marie-Noël Ducamp, Didier Robert, and Valerie Keller explain that fruits, vegetables, and flowers are still alive after harvest. They produce and release ethylene gas, which fosters ripening and blooming into the air. Ethylene is the basis of the old household trick of speeding the ripening of green fruit by placing it in a sealed bag. However, if it's released into storage and shipping containers, ethylene causes unwanted ripening, spoilage, and financial losses. Keller and colleagues reviewed almost 300 published studies and compared all existing ethylene control or removal methods and technologies. They found that photocatalysis offers the greatest potential for removing ethylene and preserving produce. During this process, a catalyst and light act together to remove ethylene by transforming it into carbon dioxide and water. The researchers conclude that photocatalysis technology could reduce post-harvest losses of fresh produce, improve worldwide food quality and availability, and be economically beneficial. Crabgrass is a fiend. Homeowners dread it, groundkeepers curse it, and with good reason. This unwanted summertime lawn guest is troublesome, obnoxious, and difficult to eradicate. But contrary to popular belief, crabgrass does not thrive in lawns, gardens, and farm fields by simply crowding out other plants. Instead, scientists in China report that the much-despised weed actually produces its own herbicides that kill nearby plants. Their study appears in the Journal of Agricultural and Food Chemistry, a weekly ACS publication. Chui-Hua Kong and colleagues point out that crabgrass is not only a headache for lawns and home gardens, but also a major cause of crop loss on farms. Scientists long suspected, but had a hard time proving, that the weed thrives because it releases toxins that restrict the growth of other plants. Kong's team set out to determine if crabgrass has this oppressive ability. They isolated three chemicals from crabgrass that affect the microbial communities in nearby soil. These chemicals did indeed inhibit the growth of staple crops such as wheat, corn, and soybeans. Kong says the chemical could have a direct toxic effect on other plants as well. In our final story this week, scientists crack open a big secret about the only gem made by a living creature. From antiquity, pearls have been prized possessions. They symbolized wealth and power. Like Aphrodite, the Greek goddess who emerged from an oyster shell, they represented the hope for eternal love and beauty. In short, pearls were mysterious and alluring. Today, they're still enchanting, but much of the mystery is gone, but not all of it. One question in particular has remained. How do natural pearls form into perfect spheres? Well, scientists in Spain and France think they've stumbled onto an unlikely but plausible explanation. Their report appears in Langmuir, a weekly ACS publication named for 1932 Nobel laureate Irving Langmuir. Julian Cartwright, Antonia G. Checa, and Martha Rousseau Point out that the most flawless and highly prized pearls have perhaps the most perfectly spherical or ball-like shape among all the objects in nature that are visible without a microscope. Pearls develop as nacre, and other liquids accumulate around grains of sand or other foreign objects inside certain oysters and other shellfish. But how do pearls grow into such well-rounded shapes? The answer, Cartwright says, may be relatively simple. Early on in their development, pearls have sawtoothed or ratchet-like surfaces. That texture generates forces that make the pearl turn inside the oyster's tissues in response to movements in the environment. The result is a spherical buildup of nacre and other textures. The scientists say rotating pearls are perhaps a unique example of a natural ratchet. Well, that's all for now. I'm Dr. Steve Showalter for the American Chemical Society. Science Element is adapted for podcasts from ACS Press Releases and the ACS Weekly Press Pack. To access this week's Press Pack, June 26, 2013, go to www.acs.org/pressroom. From all of us at Science Elements, thanks for listening.